Hello and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Michael.
I'm Doug.
And we are the Knights of Entertainment, a podcast covering your favorite and unknown movies, games, comic books, anime, and more weekly. We appreciate you being here. Let's go ahead and get started.
Okay, listen. I don't have a Cozy Knights episode today because last week's was an absolute shit show. It was very unorganized. I'm not used to being that unorganized. So we will not have one this week so I can get a little bit more organized. And I'll be back at episode 11 next week. Don't you guys worry. It's gonna be amazing. Bad Boys for Life. You know what I'm talking about when I tell you the story. So right now we're gonna move on to Urban Dictionary.
Cool. What you got for us?
We got 10 more entries into the ever expanding, never ending Urban Dictionary. So this one's called the Moon Swerve. It's when a man stands on an elevated surface that ejaculates into an arc formation onto a woman's mouth.
Arc formation.
Yeah, like a little moon. So this one's called a pipe layer. It's basically one who has mastered the art of getting laid. One who can travel to any location and still get laid with great ease. You can go as far to say women call him up just for random sex. This man is truly the greatest at fucking women. And then it just says some guy named Tucker Max, Casanova, half, etc., etc.
Oh, because like, yeah, that's where you get the word Casanova.
Yeah, etc., etc.
Etc., etc.
So this one is Los Angeles. But says, not a pretty or charming city. Many languages spoken here. Many people, culture live here. Population of Los Angeles City is about 4 million, and Los Angeles County, about 9 million. Los Angeles, massive fucking city. Probably, aside from, it's probably, no, but the biggest city in North, in America.
The largest.
Is probably.
New York is the.
I mean, like, America, like, the whole continent. Probably Mexico, with, like, fucking 18 billion people. There's so many people in Mexico City, it's fucking horrendous.
Well, let us look it up.
The fucking war zone.
Let's take a look. Let us take a look. Most populous city in North America.
Well, in America.
Yeah.
North America would just be Canada and America.
That's true.
This is America. This is my area, huh? I got this draft. This is my area.
That's going to give you only the U.S. Of course it would.
The continental United States.
Well, when you say America.
America.
American continent.
I still give you the United States.
No, here we go. Here we go.
And Canada.
Here we go. So we have New York. At 8.8 million.
Nice.
Mexico City at 9.2.
God dang. How's New York number one then?
I think by square mile.
Oh.
Los Angeles, 3.9 million.
Really? That is a significant drop. Like from New York to Los Angeles is a massive drop in population.
I don't know if this is actually all in order because they're not. It's just giving you the
numbers?
Yeah. So I guess Mexico City has a higher population than New York. Los Angeles,
how was that? Oh, my charger.
Yeah. 3.9.
It's Mexico City. All Mexicans do, because we have DNA of rabbits, is fuck.
And you don't use condoms, so.
You let him hit it raw, but now you're a single mom.
there's even a higher one, too, than Mexico City.
Oh. I'll get to fucking.
Hang on. Guatemala City at 1.2 million.
God dang Guatemala.
Sao Paulo.
For some reason, Mexicans do not like Guatemalans.
Oh, really?
And I do not know why. I don't even know how can they even tell them apart.
Sao Paulo.
Sao Paulo, Brazil?
11 million.
God dang. Brazilians.
Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires.
3.1.
Nice.
Chicago, 2.7. Philadelphia, 1.6. Brasilia, 2.6.
I like cities that are more like, I could never live in a city that's just one hugely dominant ethnicity, you know? I like a melting pot.
Okay, have you ever heard of the city Mogala?
No.
No? They got 8 million people.
Good for them.
Lima, 7.6. Santiago, 6.3.
Santiago.
Mm-hmm. Guadalajara. 1.1. Rio de Janeiro, 6.2.
Actually, Rio. Rio de Janeiro.
Rio de Janeiro. I'm going to pronounce it the way I want to.
No, it is Rio. I'm just fucking with you.
Because it wouldn't surprise me if they tried to change it. It'd
be Rio. It's Rio. You don't want to leave me.
Yeah, that's, I guess, the most popular. Or most populous.
Cool.
So, yeah, Mexico City falls into that. It's just not as developed as New York City.
You will not know. The day I heard an Asian woman speak Spanish on some show on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
How hard I got. I don't know.
Well, from the Philippines and stuff, they do speak Spanish.
It caught me by surprise.
Yeah.
It was such an interesting, like a Chinese woman speaking Spanish. I was like, I am stone hard.
All right, pass it.
I would be that guy that dates non-Hispanic women in Mexico City.
Yeah, I could see that.
I don't know ese way. Nunca con siempre con las güeras. I don't know. I just like, you know, I like being me. I like B&B. Next one is Natasha Romanoff. The best Avenger, the one who repeatedly saved the world without hesitation, has spent 5 years trying to undo Thanos' snap. They miswrote Thanos here, by the way. More than just a beauty, a person who sacrificed her life, although it should have been Clint. The redhead, the only girl in the original Avengers, didn't deserve all her suffering and pain, and obviously death, and obviously one of the most heroic MCU characters with one of the best personalities.
You've seen that skit where it's like, so what's your superpower? Kick him? It's like, can you kick Thor? No. Go ahead. You know you can, Thor.
I wonder if he had kicked. I don't know if he was going to kick once in his whole fucking career. this one's called Zondag. Like the weirdest like word. It's just like the itchy feeling a man gets after he shaves his balls.
Because it has like an electric feeling where it's like, oh, fuck.
I don't know. I never shaved my balls. There's a dead silence after that. This one is a hairy pussy phobia. Something I don't have. A person, usually male. But sometimes female. But a complete hatred and or discomfort with women's genitals having pubic hair. He, she is usually the type of person who watches pornography on a consistent basis and expects his or her girlfriend / wife to live up to the visual imagery of the woman on screen. I watch pornography nonstop.
One could say, it's your lot.
One could say that I'm insane. And I don't have any unrealistic... What's the word? Unrealistic expectations of a woman's body?
Right.
I like every shape and size. Stretch marks, hairy armpits, no problem. Saggy titties, give me more.
You start going down the train.
I just say everything. I like it all.
Smelly ass?
Maybe wash it a little bit. This type of person often does not see a woman for who she is, but rather, unfortunately, he/she sees a woman for who she is not and begins to demand that she should have a pubic hair that fits his or her desires and personal expectations. I never understood that. Okay, so I do have the porn star expectation of sex, right? Which means that if I care about a woman enough, right, and we have a lot of fun and all this and that, when we get into the bedroom, it's going to get wild. And I need you to keep up with me because it's going. You know what I mean? But I need, like, you know what I mean? Like, all the romantic stuff, great. I'll take you to the movies. I'll give you roses on Valentine's Day. I once gave a girl... what I gave her for Valentine's Day, I gave her a marshmallow in the shape of a bear. Highly romantic. And then I and then we went to fucking bathroom against the wall. Ha ha! Because, like, I can say, because once it gets, like, you know that song? Bad Touch by the, what are those band's name? You know the name? You know the middle.
Top of my head.
It sounds Bad Touch sounds bad, but it's not. It's a song, and one of the phrases is "You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals." So let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
So when we close the bedroom door, we gonna get wild. I'm sorry. All right. I know a lot of positions, and you're about to get bammed. So many. So I always need someone that's like has like just mission like three positions. Right. I got 300. So sometimes, you know, women are even, you know, sometimes they're like really like, or people in general are like really limited in what they want to do, but I am a fucking freak.
We've heard that multiple times from me, so we know.
Come out and give me a test ride.
Freaks come out at night, and there's no way.
The freaks wish they were me. So in many cases, women are generally and already not comfortable with their body. In some sense, well, we're going to keep the lights on, because I'm comfortable with every inch of your body. I like every inch of your body. I don't know, there's something about it. Like, just, you be comfortable with yourself. Maybe I've been lucky with the women. They've been down. They've been DTF. In some sense, women may have a certain fear by their natural state because pornography and razor companies have pushed the idea of what the female image should be. The female image should be whatever your body is. Like, you're good as you are. Let me suck them. I'm like a feminist, but I'm also a pervert.
But that was every male feminist.
Like, I completely respect women and like every sense of woman, but I just want to get muck wild with the ones like that. Well, you would never catch me, like, you never hear rumors or reports from me of like sexual harassment.
Right.
But, you know, you'd hear a lot of noises in the bedroom. So it's kind of weird. Like, I'm very tame in real life. But once we cross that border with each other, girl, we gonna get wild. So if you commit to me, be ready for the marathon. Well, I've completed. Let me see. Where was I? To add to this, her boyfriend slash husband who demands that she shave only adds to her frustration and her developing phobia of her own body's normal state. Quintessence is highlighted. I'm gonna go click on it, see what quintessence is. Let's see. Quintessence, most typical example of something. There we go. Solved it. Oh, I fucked up. Hairy pussy phobia exists in those who are apprehensive of the natural human body. I'm not. In this case, dread of public hair, of pubic hair, images who have hairy pussy phobia will constantly try to justify their preference for a shaved 5-year-old.
What?
Where's a shaved 5-year-old look on a woman. The justification represents for a shaved vagina have become very identical over the years to the point that now has developed into program responses. Yeah, like nowadays, like women that aren't shaved feel like they need to, you know what I mean? Which is weird.
Like, I mean, it goes the same way with dudes. Like, if my girl wants me to take care of myself, I'm going to. Like, it goes both ways.
I guess. Cock snuffler. Moving on from something actually, like, not wholesome, but, like, educational in terms of, like, respecting women's bodies, however they are, and, you know, men's bodies, like, being accepting of a person's body, whatever it is, right? To something called cock stuff. I am a man of many layers and contradiction. The act of two men bumping their penile heads together. I imagine in my head they do it sideways, like the helicopter, and they just try to bang them together.
And then they're both like, oh, shit, nah.
That's when it's mussy. Just mom pussy.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what to do now.
It's a lot of quiet.
Yeah, I was like, huh. Now I'm thinking a lot. I read a lot of books is what I say. So I'm always like inundated with the vast amounts of like different people's perspectives on everything. Cap hoofling. So you're getting buck wild while at a party, then getting ass naked in front of anyone who asks, being a complete skanky whore.
Oh, so just a whore then?
So yeah, just me.
Next one, a little whore.
Last one. Why did I add this? Next one is Wild Boon. It's a woman who resembles a wildebeest with a baboon's ass.
Don't live that.
I don't know who that is, but
the wild buffalo baboon.
Wild wildebeest, it said. So the PSA today, ladies, is enjoy your bodies. Most men don't really care what you look like. If they like you, they
at least keep it tame.
Or let it run wild.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. Forest?
What's that forest where the spiders attack the hobbits and dwarves in the second movie? The Hobbit?
I can't remember the name of it.
Be that.
No. At least keep prim. Like, you ain't got to get rid of all of it, but keep it prim.
Or let it go.
No.
I'd be like, and just die. Just dive in there. I got a book called The... let me find the title. As I said, I like to be very I like to keep myself well read. Let me see if I find it. Let me see. The book is called A Brief History of the Female Body by Dr. Dina Emera. It's made for women for women, about the evolutionary look at how and why the women form came to be. I can't help it. I like women, and I will try to study them as much as I can.
You even went as far as women's world, so?
That's because I like the detective story.
Lies, I say.
It is. I loved it. I love solving mysteries as much as...
You like those middle-aged women on the front.
I love solving mysteries as much as I love eating pussy.
And that's got...
And I love beans. That's another thing about me. Is like, if you're 66... Still young and mine.
That's why you like Dolly. It's okay.
Dolly Parton. Oh, my God. If I had a shot with Dolly Parton, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'd probably break that poor woman in half. Or I could be wrong. I come out just with my pelvis just fucking encased in a fucking bandage. And you're like, no, are you okay? And I just like, I come up like, I'm in a wheelchair. Like, both my eyes have black eyes. And I'm just like, and you're like, oh, you're all concerned. You okay? I'm like, I never felt better.
I've got 27 broken bones, 3 fractures.
And my dick don't work now. So that's it for Urban Dictionary.
Cool. You ready?
Hopefully there was a PSA for you guys to just enjoy women as they are. And a PSA to women that when, you know, I'm all romantic, but when it's time to go, it's time to go. We're going to be watching. What can I say? I don't like that boring shit.
All right. Going from that. to our weekly ring family. Today we have, apparently, Disillusioned Adventurers Will Save the World. That's the title of the manga.
Oh, I'm like, you're saying like apparently, like you basically you were questioning the manga altogether.
No, that's the title of the manga. The actual anime is called Ningen Fusion: Adventurers Who Don't Believe in Humanity Will Save the World.
Okay.
So episode 1 is called Disillusioned Adventurers. So in a labyrinth center, adventurer Nick.
Does it sound like I'm jagging off?
I don't know, I'd be so watery.
A lot of lotion, I guess.
In Labyrinth City, adventurer Nick is abruptly kicked from his team by his mentor, Argus, followed by his girlfriend, Claudine, dumping him.
Come on, baby, be like that.
Disillusioned. Nick develops an otaku lifestyle about teen idol agate.
What's an otaku? Is that where they shelter in like a house forever? Like they become a grown-up
obsessed and obsessed.
Oh, obsessed.
Yeah,
that's what an otaku is.
Yeah, like obsessed with like anime and like idols and like he becomes a true obsessed with this idol, teen idol named Agate. To fund his lifestyle, Nick returns to adventuring but requires a new team. He's running out of money for buying shit. And by chance, at an inn, he shares a table with sorceress Tiana, ex-priest Zim, and dragon girl Curran.
Wait, so is this like, this is the world, right?
Yes.
This is not that thing where like I woke up and I was on a D&D.
This is their world. Like there was, it's not an isekai. So nobody was reborn into this world or anything like that. This is their world and it's a fantasy world.
Okay.
But they've already lived in it. This is their thing. So there's sorceress Tiana, ex-priest Zim, and dragon girl Curran, all disillusioned over something. Tiana is a magical prodigy jilted by her jealous fiancé, causing her to become a gambling addict and fail to become an adventurer because her glaring eyes scare away potential teammates. Zim used to be a healer priest until he rejected the advances of a young village girl. Angered, she accused him of rape, leading to his expulsion from the priesthood.
Good God.
This is why they're all disillusioned.
Some serious shit.
He decided to become an adventurer, but freed from his vow of chastity, has become a drunken womanizer.
That's an absolute whore.
Yes. And then Curran, the dragon girl, merely explained someone she trusted stole something from her. The four drink together over their shared inability to trust people. Nick realizes they will remain disillusioned unless they do something about it and suggests that they form a team together. Because they've all been, like, fucked by this world in some way or another.
What about Nick?
He was kicked out of his team by his mentor and his girlfriend dumped him.
Oh, okay.
So they're all disillusioned at this
point. Didn't he dump him for his mentor?
I think so.
That would have been the extra layer to be like, damn.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. So, episode 2, the ultimate party is formed.
Maybe what does one have?
12, I think. It's not very many.
You got a perfect 12 all the time.
I don't know.
All my episodes, like, anything. If I watch something, it's like 8 episodes long and it's over. I'm like, aw.
Yeah, 12 episodes. So, episode 2 is called The Ultimate Party is Formed? Question mark.
How?
So, at the guild, Nick learns that Curran is famous for being sole survivor of a team that attempted a C-ranked labyrinth and they all died. Nick decides to name their new team the Survivors.
I'm a survivor. I'm gonna...
As each team member...
Wait, there's Beyonce one, right? And there's also the other one, like, I'll survive. Yes, I'll survive. Hey, hey.
As long as I know how to love, I know I will survive.
If I thought for just 1 second, that'd fall apart. That one's mostly from... A lot of people go get that from Men in Black 2.
Yeah.
But the OGs get it from The Replacements.
Over here dying. As each team member has pressed this,
you get rid of it.
Over here dying.
If I thought for just a second.
I don't know if you're going to survive.
Because the dog, right? Isn't he just going off on the song?
I think so, yeah.
I love that dog.
What was it, a pug?
Yeah. Pugs and French bulldogs. What the fuck kind of mental state are they born with?
They're already bug-eyed.
You saw that French that had to take care of for that little bastard was fucking insane.
Yes, eat anything.
Eat a fucking lug nut and choke and die.
Yes,
if you don't watch him,
you got to make sure. So.
Disclaimer, it didn't die.
It did not
we
die.
We caught it before it started finishing chewing on it.
It was bad enough, though.
Yeah, when you picked it up, it dropped it, which was fucking thankful.
It's like, oh, it didn't die. All right. As each team member has the trust issues, they set up rules that make it impossible to access team wages unless all four agree. As a new team, they start at a G rank and must defeat 2 G rank labyrinths to be promoted.
What's the highest rank?
S, I believe.
What is with the S, by the way?
I don't know.
I could barely get a C in class, let alone if I got an A, I felt like a genius. An S?
Yes.
Jesus. Super?
I think it's either super or special rank.
Super? I guess it probably sounds better as special rank.
Yeah.
So what, special rank? What's A? Just A rank?
Yeah, just A rank.
Good old C. I'm that low-key underachiever that's a high achiever if I tried.
Important words, if I tried. All right, so Tiana accidentally shoots a spell at Curran, damaging their already fragile trust and causing resentment. They reach the dungeon boss, a giant slime, which Tiana recklessly kills alone, covering everyone in slime and increasing Curran's resentment even further.
You bet.
As a team-building exercise, Nick asks everyone to reveal their strength.
They all got to play baseball, like the batting cages. The team-building exercise.
He asks everyone to reveal their strengths and their weaknesses. Tiana apologizes to Curran by revealing she is weak against fire in close combat, at which Curran excels, restoring some trust. At the next dungeon, they face an intelligent, magic-resistant ogre, and Curran is able to trust Tiana to provide her with, to protect her while she kills the ogre, and, like, they have this, like, little bond at that point.
The little, like, video game thing going like, bloop, 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 points go up?
Yeah. Everyone begins.
I tried to do that in that game. I told you about it, the Marvel Knights, where you play like a supernatural version of like the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, yeah.
Where like you play with like Blade and magic and like all these super. It's supposed to be supernatural characters and magical, but they got Captain Marvel and Iron Man. Not so much supernatural.
No.
And I keep trying to hit it off with magic, the mutant, and she cannot stand me. Everything I say drops like 8 points. I'm like, damn it.
It just don't work.
It just does not work on her.
Everyone begins to feel closer until Nick accidentally causes Curran to drop and smash an important charm from her bag.
Damn.
It's like, done fucked up again, didn't you? Episode 3 is called Kurin's Secret.
I like when the main character tries, like, he's the one that actually, like, he's the impetus that moves it forward, you know?
Right.
Instead of it just happening to him, like, he's trying to make it happen.
Right, he's doing his best to move this along.
Luffy's trying to be the Pirate King.
Right.
This guy is trying to keep it, trying to start a new team. He's not just sulking. He's like, come on, guys, let's do it. And they're all like,
man, I trust each other at all.
No, they're all like, fuck you.
So, in the past, Kurin served the human she believed would become the hero, Kalios. Kurin, who was swindled by a merchant, but Kalios exposed the crime and forced him to give Kurin the necklace, which she treasured at this point.
Aw.
So Kalios eventually betrayed her and stole her Dragon King jewel, a jewel sacred to the Dragon Kin she was tasked to keep safe for her whole life.
What does she look like? Like an actual dragon, or is this from Big Titty Chick like always?
Big Titty Chick.
What the fuck? How is that a dragon kin, man?
A dragon kin, because she's got scales and stuff.
Okay.
So, she looks somewhat...
like a dragon?
Like a she's got a normal human face, but she has, like, the little horns of a dragon.
Okay.
So, after failing to track Kalios, she gave up until she encountered Fit, an adventurer so strong he had permission to enter Labyrinth alone.
It was so fancy.
He was also a notorious food enthusiast, and even though they only spoke once, he inspired Kurin, causing her to return to adventuring. In the present, Nick attempts to buy a whole new necklace to apologize, but Agate, a friend of Nick's from before her idol career, suggests that he simply continue to be Kurin's friend. Kurin, who truly is not upset about the necklace, is just happy her life is getting better than before. The four party members realize they are becoming popular at the guild and celebrate. The guild abruptly hires them to explore a dungeon rumored to contain the Holy Sword of Bonds.
Is a bong in there?
Bonds.
They just find a knight just fucking baked out of his mind. What's up, guys? How's it going? Yeah, I used to be an adventurer just like you, then I got high as fuck.
That's like one of the worst, the stupidest movies I've ever seen on Tubi is like the Killer Bong. Like,
oh yeah. My
God. It's like, seriously, people? This is what you guys are...
I saw something the other day called The Naughty Room. Okay. And it was the worst fucking movie I've ever seen in my life.
You watched it?
The whole hour and 16 minutes.
Oh, it was only an hour?
It's a first-time director / writer.
That bad?
Oh my God. It was like, I saw elements that would have made it a wonderful movie, but seeing that he didn't know how to show instead of tell. So he just told all the fucking time, and then none of it made it. I want you to go watch it, and then we'll talk about it on the next. The Naughty Room. It is not sexual. It is not a softcore porn. It is a straight movie. It is fucking terrible. I was fucking bawling.
I'll watch it whenever I get home later.
We gotta cut this episode because I can't. It's coming up in my brain. It's just the dumbest shit I've ever seen.
All right. Next one is called The Labyrinth of Bonds. So they enter the Labyrinth of Bonds and locate the sword, which possesses intelligence and explains he can only be wielded by people with strong bonds of friendship. Sword was what they consider it.
Fucking sword. The power of friendship.
Yes. they laugh about it, too.
Yeah, I'd be fucking laughing my ass off. When you fucking combine the power of, what do you get, Captain Planet? What the fuck?
And Sword.
He's a hero. Gonna take pollution. I can't believe I used to watch this shit. What the goofiest shit. Gonna take pollution down to zero. Well, you failed, Captain Planet.
So they call it just Sword. That's his name.
That's good.
Sword is disappointed they plan to sell him. They don't give a fuck about the bomb.
Y'all some cold motherfuckers.
Removing Sword activates a golem made of liquid nano machines that cannot be damaged.
Liquid nano? What the fuck kind of
sci-fi fantasy, yeah.
Just got tossed in together.
Nick manages to activate Sword's blade. Yet Sword is confused that Nick's friendship bonds aren't strong enough to activate him fully.
Damn.
He's like, what, you're not friend with your teammate? He's like, no.
You only get two tiers. Two tiers of power.
Nick falls to a lower floor and Kurin rescues him. Kurin explains to Nick she kept the necklace to remind her of Kalios, but it kept her stuck in the past, so Nick breaking it helped her to move on. Their reconciliation fully activates the sword, fusing them into one body. Where, with their combined power, the golem is destroyed. They give sword to the guild for the bounty, only to reveal it was a weaker copy from a nearby storeroom, and Sword, now calling himself Bond, not James Bond either,
and Bond,
has joined their team as an androgynous young man.
To make him...
It took human form.
What the fuck? What's androgynous mean? I feel like I know what it means, but
I'm not masculine.
So a feminine man?
Kind of, yeah.
Might just be a woman then. What the fuck? An androgynous male?
Androgynous would be like Prince.
Like a fucking eunuch.
You remember Prince?
Yeah, I remember when it was Prince.
Yeah, but he was androgynous.
Full reign.
Bond is disappointed their team bylaws prevent them from interfering in each other's hobbies. So they always split up to celebrate on payday.
Really?
Tiana and...
Wait, so they can't celebrate together?
No, they don't get involved in each other's...
Extracurricular activity?
Uh-huh. Do they all have something?
Wait, that sounds depressing. How are you supposed to bond with your teammates?
Because they're not trying to. They just formed a party because they all hated everybody else.
Wow, ain't that quite the loser's club?
So Tiana invites Bond to accompany her, since she doesn't have her own hobby yet. So we go into episode 5. It's called A Meeting with the Iron Tigers. So the survivors all dream of the lives they had before.
The Flaming Dragon.
In particular, Tiana dreams of her academy instructor whose career she accidentally ruined through her own ambition.
Damn.
And Nick dreams of his ex, Claudine.
Come on, baby, please.
Their dreams turn out to be unintentionally caused by Kuzuna's telepathy. While monster hunting, Kuzuna reveals he contains a sword. It contains the sword skills of his past wielders, which I guess is, let's see, Kuzuna... Trying to remember who that is.
I'm confused now. Isn't it Kuzuna the sword?
I think so.
But his name was Bong. Bond.
Yeah.
Will they change it? Midway through the fucking description?
I think so. While monster hunting, Kuzuna reveals he contains the sword skills of all his past wielders. So yeah, I guess it is a sword.
Weird.
While at a restaurant with Kurin and Kuzuna, Nick spots Claudine.
Baby, is that you?
A known con artist trying to take a young man's money used the same con she once used on Nick.
So she was
using him.
How long was she dating them for?
Probably for a little while.
But did they get busy?
No. Claudine leaves after Nick exposes her. Claudine later provokes a fight between Nick and her party leader, Leon, leader of the Iron Tigers. However, in private, Leon reveals to Nick he will soon dumb Claudine as she has made him rich, but her cons draw too much attention. He also congratulates Nick on forming the Survivors Party, as he assumes Nick is conning them for money.
How dare she? He's doing his best to be a better man.
I know. Nick beats him up for even suggesting he would betray his first real friends.
How dare you, bitch?
The guild leader breaks him up as a street brawl is beneath career adventurers. Instead, Leon challenges Nick to the traditional mathematics bare-knuckle battle.
Mathematics bare-knuckle battle?
Yes. So episode 6 is called Mathematics Bare-Knuckle. You can tell this has some comedy elements in it. It is explained bare-knuckle mathematics involves 10 rounds of brawling. Nick and Leon fight while Curran and Claudine solve math questions to end each round.
Weird.
Whoever gets the most questions correct earns their fighter a free punch to the opponent. Curran panics as she is bad at maths.
Oh, great.
Zim learns that the Iron Tigers plan to cheat using their party member Big. During round 1 and 2, Curran loses to Claudine, so Nick is punched twice. The other survivors cannot locate Beg anywhere. Curran loses the third round, so Nick is punched again. The survivors suspect Beg is waiting for the later rounds. To force him to appear, Tiana suggests that they answer all the questions in one go, even though if Curran loses, Nick would be punched 7 times.
John, dang.
Go ahead and take it.
How many punches are you going to take?
Guildmaster Vilma agrees, so Claudine uses telepathy crystals to get the correct answers from Beg. Beg is caught by the survivors, who expose Claudine's telepathy crystal. The Iron Tigers are arrested, and Claudine cries, revealing that she never wanted to be a criminal and hates who she has become. Corinne is happy she learned maths because she can now identify bargains at restaurant menus. She learned something.
And Nick's just all fucked up.
He got hit 3 times already. Episode 7 is called Gambling Lesson. So Leon is interrogated about the treasure he looted from the labyrinth years ago, the Sword of Ruinous Evolution. So it's another one of those same kind of swords like they found, the Sword of Bonds, only this one's the Ruinous Evolution.
A Ruinous Evolution.
Yeah. Elsewhere, Tiana, Nick, and Kuzuna enjoy themselves at a casino, which is attacked by Leon looking for Nick, having used the sword to escape and evolve into a monster. Leon, whose sense of smell can now detect lies, threatens Tiana for Nick's location.
Lies?
Yeah. Tiana is amused by Leon's assumption she and Nick are friends. Leon's nose tells him Tiana has no faith Nick will save her at all, so he decides to just kill her. However, Nick does save her with Kuzuna in his Sword of Bond form, surprising Tiana. Evolution evolves Leon further and takes control of his body, rampaging wildly while Leon begs him to stop. Tiana and Nick prove their real friendship by using Bond's full powers to fuse into one body, the same way he did with Curren earlier. Only it's two other people now, him and Tiana.
It's still weird that the name, they just changed the name of the sword without telling us.
Yeah, I think they might have added it at the end of the episode. I just didn't remember that.
Crushing my fucking charger.
I moved it.
You're beating the hell out of it.
No, I moved it. Try not to step on it. Tiana and Nick prove their real friendship by using Bond's full power to fuse into one body. Leon, despite his hate of humans, refuses to believe he is truly an evil person and allows Nick and Tiana to coat him in the casino's anti-magic playing cards, returning him to normal. Because they have anti-magic playing cards in this casino, since there's people that can use magic.
Right.
They don't want card shouting and shit. So Evolution is sealed away, the sword that he had, and Leon returned to prison, content that he is not evil at heart, especially when Nick reveals he avoided killing anyone when with Evolution controlling him. So he's like, I'm not all that bad.
It's bad for Leon. He's a special K-man.
Yeah. He's gonna be. Episode 8 is called The Beautiful Paladin. Agate meets Nick and is impressed at how far he has come, but Nick is worried about her as she has recently canceled all her concerts and public appearances. So this is that idol that he talks to, that he's obsessed with.
Oh boy.
So Agate narrates that her real name is Belle Haggins.
Belle Haggins, that's a weird name.
And she was once a singer at her boyfriend Donnie's failing bar until a music producer discovered her talent and made her an idol.
How advanced is a society?
It's a mix. It's supposed to be comedic, so.
Like, do they have, like, fucking smartphones and railway systems and cars? Or do they got concerts and idols and famous?
It's a mix.
Weird.
It is very weird. It's very much done more for comedic effect than it is.
Reminds me of One Piece, having, like, pirate levels and no phones. And,
right.
But they got snails and they got robots and.
She fell in love with the lifestyle, but began to feel unsatisfied with Donnie, especially whenever he began borrowing her idol wages for gambling, claiming it was to save the bar.
Why is everybody a fucking gambler in this fucking series?
I know. Then one day at the casino, she saw Tiana easily win all Donnie's money before helping Nick defeat the evolved Leon, causing Agate to idolize Tiana as her paladin.
Yay.
Now, in the present, Agate breaks up with Donnie and begins hosting concerts again, crediting her return to her paladin, Tiana, which Nick realizes was himself and Tiana using Kuzuna's power, the swords, whenever they fuse together.
Right.
Agate meets with Nick, again confident they will both keep moving forward. Episode 9 is called The Legend of the Labyrinth City. Stepping Man? Question mark, exclamation mark.
What?
Stepping Man.
Stepping Man? What the fuck is that?
Thanks to the adventurer amateur journalist Olivia Taylor, Kuzuna becomes obsessed with Stepping Man, a monster that can leap over rooftops and kidnaps children.
Jesus.
So the sword is obsessed with this? Later, Zim, the priest, Kuzuna the sword, and Nick stop Stepping Man kidnapping a girl named Rena. With proof, Stepping Man is actually a human using invisibility magic, and the survivors decide to catch him. They confirm Stepping Man has a bounty for his capture, but the Mercenary Guild insists they capture a smaller bounty first.
Why are they called the survivors? Forget.
They're called the survivors because basically their only goal is to survive the dungeons. They don't care about nothing else. They just want to survive when they leave as a group. The Mercenary Guild insists they capture a smaller bounty first, Hale Hardy, a suspected murderer. The mercenary, Ash, angry at adventurers taking mercenary work, enters a wager with Tiana on the success of them capturing Hale. They track Hale to the slums where Zimna, as a healer, is disturbed by the living conditions of the many people who are sick, drug addicted, and dying. After capturing Hale, the survivors are confronted by Dr. Nalgava, another ex-priest who has been treating Hale for yellow demon sickness, which is kind of like a terminal disease almost.
Well, damn.
When asking about Stepping Man, Hale reveals he has seen Olivia in the slums talking to children.
He got tuberculosis, son. It's a hell of a thing.
Yeah. The survivors cannot ignore Olivia's suspicious behavior and confront her about being Stepping Man. Olivia flees by jumping into the air straight through the building's roof, just like Stepping Man does. So it's basically her.
Saying, ha!
Episode 10 is called Labyrinth Dragnet. Raina's mother, retired adventurer Ad the Sommelier, is grateful the survivor saved her. Raina asks to become Zim's disciple, but he refuses, revealing his past experience gave him a phobia of young girls. Since he was already accused, he's like,
don't blame him.
Ada decides to train the survivors against Stepping Man skills. Light body for flight and heavy body for strength. After encountering Stepping Man again, Nick also doubts it is Olivia. Suspecting Stepping Man is using a magic artifact, Nick asks Leon's advice, the one in jail, and learns the most likely artifact is an Illusion King gem.
Are they all in the same town forever, or do they travel around?
It's mostly the same town and the dungeons around it.
That's interesting.
Its illusions are easily broken by confronting the user by name, meaning Olivia is definitely not Stepping Man. Olivia later attacks him, believing Nick is Stepping Man. So this is this big-ass
confusion. Who the hell is Stepping Man?
After determining that neither of them are Stepping Man, Olivia admits Stepping Man was her adventurer title before she became a reporter, meaning Stepping Man is using her title and skills to frame her. Examining a dead girl, one of the Stepping Man's victims, they find an illusion gem fragment designed to obscure her identity. With the fragment removed, she is revealed as Martha, a blacksmith's daughter who was received treatment for yellow demon sickness.
Martha, why did you say that name? Martha! Martha!
Zim the priest believes that he knows who Stepping Man is after seeing this. So episode 11 is called Survivors versus Stepping Man.
You know, I have a superhero name too. They call me Baker's Dozen. I use kitchen-based gadgets. To fight crime.
So Jackie Chan?
I usually stand on top of a donut shop at 5 a.m. before to fight crime.
So the survivors confront Stepping Man and break his illusions with his name, Dr. Nalgava. His obsession with curing yellow demon sickness began whenever his daughter died of it. The sickness is usually sexually transmitted, so after she died, Nalgava went mad with the rumors of how his daughter became infected.
Uh-oh.
By experimenting on kidnapped children, Nalgava has proven it can also be transmitted from contact with infected blood. Basically, it's AIDS.
It sounds like it.
Zim confronts him with the pain he's
caused. So it can be both? Sexually transmitted and blood?
And blood transmitted.
So it is AIDS.
Pretty much.
God dang.
Yeah. By experimenting on children, Nalgava has proven it can also be transmitted through infected blood. Zim confronts him with the pain he has caused his victim's parents, but Nalgava is unrepentant. An armored warrior named White Mask.
He's like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Suddenly tries to kill Nalgava and the survivors to keep the truth hidden. Corinne and Tiana are hurt, so Olivia distracts White Mask, identifying his armor as a similar relic to Kizuna, so similar to that sword. Nick and Zim, the priest, combine using Kizuna's bond ability and manage to stab White Mask in the face.
Shit.
Amused they actually hurt him, White Mask spares their lives and disappears.
And that shit fucking tickled that he fucking lives.
Pretty much, yes. Injured by falling rubble and also infected with yellow demon sickness, Nalgava opts to die whenever the building collapses. Since White Mask uses a relic and undoubtedly has a powerful master controlling him, Olivia reveals to the survivors that she is also a weapon relic like Kizuna, the anti-demon god sword of war.
So, what's his name? Nalgava just let the debris kill him?
Yes.
Reminds me of the guy from Kung Fu Panda 2.
Yeah.
Little swan, or like the peacock.
Mm-hmm.
That pillar, that burning pillar just lands on him. He just closes his eyes and accepts it. Like, well, deuces. No, I was like, oh my God. That was the most brutal death I've ever seen in a kid's movie. Aside from the Tarzan movie where the guy hangs himself.
Yeah.
She breaks his fucking neck.
And last episode is called Adventurers Can't Save the World Yet. So after defeating Stepping Man, the survivors all enter a state of depression. Nick remembers meeting Argus, who saved him from the bandits that murdered his parents. Zim takes over in Algalda.
It's always a murder parents trope.
I know.
Jesus.
They're taking it to the extreme on this.
I wonder if like, you just had a happy childhood and you got bored, so you decided to be an adventurer.
There's a couple of anime out there like that.
It's always some brutal, brutal, horrific event that turned me into. Everyone's trying to make Berserker, but not as hardcore.
Yeah. There is one, though, I can always bring up in a couple of weeks. But it's that where...
No, thank you.
No, where she's got a perfect life to begin with. Zim takes over Nalgava's clinic in the slums. Tiana returns to gambling, but no longer enjoys it. When the survivors meet, there is an uncertainty over what to do next. Curren begins brooding over Kalios and wonders if she forgot about him and moved on. Olivia discovers evidence the Dark Demon God will soon return, with White Mask somehow involved. She is also investigating the black market that sold Nalgava the Illusion King gem. As a reporter, she's looking into a bunch of shit.
Curren takes one down, Lois Lane.
Curren takes an interest in the market, as they may be where Kalios sold her Dragon King gem. The survivors promise if she ever wants to find her gem that will help her. Suddenly inspired, the survivors decide to uncover the conspiracy, expose White Mask, and stop the Dark Demon God's return. Curren gains an admirer, a cat girl she earlier saved from the same swindled merchant whom Kalios once saved from, her from. Kazuna, the sword, and Olivia, both immortal artifacts who will long outlive the survivors, agree the survivors have potential to bring the Dark Demon God to defeat the Dark Demon God, but still have a long way to go.
And it was always a dark demon.
Always.
Always. There's more villains than just demons.
That's why Freyrin at Journey's End, you start after the fact. That's what makes it a little bit more unique.
But they're still fighting demons, aren't they?
There's like random demons.
But, I want something interesting.
But the demon lord.
Like fighting Cthulhu or something.
Oh, I can find you one.
No, thanks. If no in Japan, they'll make it weird.
Probably,
you remember that weird Batman, the doom that comes to Gotham?
Yeah.
Where he becomes an actual bat at the end?
Yeah.
That shit is weird.
I mean, there is a anime out there. It's called How Not to Summon a Demon Lord. It's a harem.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You ready to move on to some Reddit?
I'm ready. Let me hold this shit in as long as I can. Because I have to take a fucking dump.
And we all know now you gotta take the clothes off the building.
Butt ass naked.
All right. First one is by Squidward's Hentai. You're just talking about Cthulhu.
Lord.
First and first. So, I was in school and I had a very small group of friends and stick to them. We were all called to an assembly during the day. I turned to my friend and said to me, how do you know what this is about? Hey, do you know what this is about? Friend, we're raising money for Asia. Me, oh, what are we doing that? Why are we doing that? The friend, Asia has cancer. Me, genuinely confused, doesn't every place have cancer? My friend said I was being an asshole and I genuinely didn't know that she was talking about. I went on to the assembly to see a girl on the projector during a video call.
She's a random girl named Asia.
She had just been through chemotherapy and was saying hi to us. It had then just hit me. Asia was the girl who had been diagnosed with cancer in our town. Her name was Asia. They were not talking about the country or the continent. I felt like such an asshole.
Yeah, well.
Asia has cancer. He's like, doesn't it reply?
He made an honest mistake.
Well, that's at least an honest one, though. Next one is by Snake Charmer. Spurs and puts. So every time I try to shave my head, I end up butchering myself. I'm a newly bald dude, and whenever I see other bald dudes, I ask for tips. I get asked for beer tips all the same. For now, I've just been settling for using clippers and cutting my hair at the shortest setting possible. So I'm at my son's soccer game, and I see a dapper bald man and ask him how he gets...
Dapper bald man?
And ask him how he gets his shave so close. He smiles and says with an accent, well, first you get this thing called alopecia, and then it just falls out. I immediately apologize to him. I'm a dumbass. He just laughs and says, I know, it's so shiny, right? Thankfully, he was really cool about it, and we both had a good laugh.
You know, me not liking body hair, I wish I had alopecia.
No beard, no nothing.
No beard, no. I get rid of the beard, no problem. She just fucking falls out of clumps, so like, no. It would be weird, like, not having any body hair. But I mean, like, it's like probably the least serious, like, to a guy, the least serious, like, you know, illness you could have or disease or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So you don't have any, eyebrows. You'll be all right.
You look like an egg. So. Alrighty, next one is by 561-826-541.
Great. You just put in the combination and then just unlock some weird video on the internet.
I know. It's just a random number and it did.
By the way, there is an augmented reality where if you type in the web browser or the website that you get from the Batman movie,
mm-hmm.
you go to the, it sends you to the actual site that the Riddler created.
Oh, real?
He tries to get you to solve his riddles, and he knows when you're cheating if you try to leave the browser to look for something else.
Oh, real?
Yeah, so you're pretty much going up against the Riddler. It's pretty fun. I haven't tried it yet because I'm scared to.
It's got some kind of virus in it.
Well, no, it's like a legit, like, Warner Brothers, like, website.
Okay.
It just masks itself as like some random, like, sketchy black site, but it's not.
Right.
It's because it's augmented reality, so it's real in the context of the movie, but not in real life.
Right.
Like that weird Scott Lang book that he wrote, The Ant-Man, that it's like his real adventures,
yeah.
but it's not really his adventures. It's not a real book.
You need to try it, man. See if you can beat the Riddler.
I don't know, like, because it would take a vast amount of my time, right? Plus, if I leave, he'll know, and I feel like a loser.
That's the reason.
So I would need a whole day of me just sitting there against the Riddler.
It's like, can I win?
Like, of course I can beat the Riddler. I beat him like 3 times in the Batman games. 3 times with no strategy guide.
That's pretty good.
I'm just that damn good. The car ones were fucking terrible, though, in Arkham
Knight. Yeah, they really were.
I was like, fuck.
I gave up on them because it's like, fuck it, I'm done. They weren't that fun.
And there were like a fucking, there were like 600 of them.
Yeah.
If Batman does that in one night, that man is fucking superhuman. I don't care what anyone says. Every one of those games takes place in one single night.
Yeah.
And so if I ever do a video game YouTube channel,
yeah,
I'd be like, all right, we're going to play the Batman game. We're going to beat every single game in one night. And we'll not, like, every single game, each in their own night.
Right.
And if I can beat the whole game and all the fucking extra, like, side missions in one night, it's possible. So I have to start like at 7 p.m.,
and you have people that have put 40 hours into it.
Exactly. Like, there's, like, too much time.
Yeah.
Plus, some of the stuff in Arkham City doesn't fucking register to, like, later in the game or some shit. Or even well after the game.
Yeah. All right. So this person puts, last night, my wife was out, so I treated myself to a bath. After 10 minutes or so, I started to feel a bit horny and decided to knock one out, especially as my wife is on her period. So... there won't be any sex for a few days.
Get out of my fucking ear.
As I started getting into it, I grabbed my razor off of the side of the bath, Harry's brand razor if you're interested, with a nice ribbed handle.
Check off with it? What?
I then stuck the handle of the razor into my ass and continued to jerk off. What's the look?
Yeah, that kind of caught me by surprise. Shit, it's dangerous, too. It sounds dangerous as fuck.
After a few minutes, I came hard and went to remove the razor from my ass. As I pulled it out, just the head came out and the handle disappeared. Luckily, I managed to just grab a hold of the end and pull the handle and pull it out, avoiding the need for a hospital visit, an explanation to my wife, who frowns upon masturbating.
What?
I laid in the bath for another 20 minutes just trying to catch my breath and get over what had happened. So he sat in his own cum water.
Yeah. And Noah Hamby probably fucking shot in his own mouth.
Probably. I didn't sleep much last night because of the panic I had been about what had happened.
Well, yep. Don't do it again.
Don't shove a razor up your ass.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That would be the best thing. Don't ever shove a razor.
The weirdest thing to do, especially a razor.
And then you got a nice ribbed handle if you're interested. It's like, what? Next one is by Girl Entering the World. First inputs. I love eating oranges. This past week in the grocery store had oranges on sale, so buy one, get one free. I immediately jumped on the sale and decided to eat some as my morning snack during my breaks at work. I've never had any issues with eating at work because I have my own private office, and I can always eat in the break room. This morning, I brought in an orange and ate it about 10 to 15 minutes ago.
Should eat that bitch whole?
I went to the restroom to wash my hands after because I had juice on them. I come back and someone is cleaning out my trash can. She told me that one of our coworkers is severely allergic to oranges and that simply being near orange oils, like whenever it comes off of the peel when you're peeling them, is enough to set off her allergy.
Ouch.
I don't think she experiences anaphylaxis, or at least isn't currently, because nobody has called an ambulance yet. I never would have brought the orange into work if I had known someone would have an allergic reaction to it. I haven't really heard anything.
I can't fucking live in this goddamn iron Russian Berlin. I can't bring oranges to work.
I have never heard of that allergy, have you?
No, not an orange allergy.
Like a citrus allergy, maybe?
No.
Hmm. Next one is by Temporary Thing 7517. Person puts, so this morning, my husband and I were following our usual routine. He used the toilet to do his business, and whenever he finishes, he usually wipes the seat down with a little bit of alcohol for me, which is nice. It's like, what kind of...
I don't know what he's doing. Yeah, like he just fucking tears it. So what kind of biohazard does he leave behind? He has to fucking sterilize the toilet seat.
He uses... whatever. Then he tosses the alcoholized...
By the way, alcohol burns like a motherfucker.
Yes, it does.
Especially when, like, when you after you have your head shaved.
Yeah.
And my cousin used to love just fucking rubbing my face. I'm like, the back of my head, like, ah! It feels good, though.
Then he tosses the alcoholized toilet paper into the toilet. No big deal. So, here I come, ready to blow.
Like holding that shit back, as I am right now.
I usually flush whenever, whatever is in there before I sit down, if there is anything, but...
Does he not flush the toilet when he leaves?
I clean the toilet with...
I want you to look at it.
But he just finished and flushed, so the only thing in the toilet would have been... the now super diluted, right? Alcohol toilet paper. Now, usually whenever the water splashes back, it's cold, slightly unpleasant sensation. No big deal.
What the fucking toilet paper splashed back in her coochie?
No big deal. A couple of drops of water. Nope, this time I felt the tiniest drop hit my butthole and lit me on fire. Ouch. What the fuck? Apparently that tiny square of toilet paper turned the entire bowl into some 90% alcohol and I felt it. I still feel it.
Sounds painful. I believe it's sterile, so.
Yeah.
It's your booty hole sterile.
Next one is by Den Hanks. This person put, so yeah, so this happened 3 days ago. Not necessarily today, I fucked up, but figured to share anyway. I am one of the overnight shift managers at a fast food restaurant in California. Probably In-N-Out, I would assume. I tend to close up and lock up the joint before I head out. This particular night, I was told by my store manager before they left that they had a couple of nights the temperatures in the freezer had been rising, which is extremely bad, and had called someone to look in at it, but told me to make sure that the door was fully closed, and to just make sure everything was in order before I left for the night. I went to the back once my last couple crew members clocked out to settle the store and leave by checking out the freezer. The door was slightly ajar. I was unsure if this was an issue with the door or if it was just someone who had left it open. So I go try to shut it, only for it to not really close properly. So I go inside to check the hinges real quick to see if maybe that's what the issue was, even though I really wasn't sure what I was looking for. I couldn't find the problem exactly, so I figured I'd just prop something in front of the door until we could get it checked. I grabbed the door handle, but I sort of slipped on the cold metal floor and twitched the latch hard down as my body pushed forward and slammed the door shut. I'm kind of amazed. It kind of dazed me for a moment, but I got up and tried to open the door, only to realize that, nope, it wasn't open at all. The latch was tilted slightly downwards, and it was locked in place. I seriously couldn't get the damn door open, and I began to panic. I panic easily.
Freezer? Good job.
I panic easily, and somehow, seeing...
I panic easily.
And seeing how I suddenly just ended up on Man versus Freezer, I wasn't thinking straight. I sort of tugged on the door, pulled it up and down, tried pushing and pulling, none of it was working. In a Looney Tunes fashion, I grabbed my skinny ass and put my foot up on one wall, grabbed the latch, and tried and pulled with my Joe Dirt-like strength. It still didn't work, and I got really mad, so I jumped on the door with both feet and started jagging the door handle around, I guess jiggling the door handle around, while kind of making animalistic noises. Only to fall and hit my back against the ground. It hurt pretty bad. But what was worse was that whenever I looked out in front of me and saw that I was pulled the latch out of the door, I had no idea how I did that, but I yelled, fuck. Because now I really felt like I was done for.
Fuck.
I ended up unscrewing the plastic curtains in front of the door. They used to decrease the amount of cold air that comes out of the opening whenever you open the door. Ripping apart cardboard boxes, specifically out of fry boxes, and putting the cardboard on the ground, as well as wrapping the plastic around myself to mask the pseudo-cold resilient armor against that blasted freezer.
Pseudo-cold resilient. So he knows it doesn't work. Because pseudo means fake.
Yes. I also made a tent of some kind with the cardboard.
I turned into a fucking caveman. Why did you have your phone on? Just call somebody.
As well, because there was nothing else I could do, really. I was freezing my ass off. About 2 hours in.
Oh, my God.
I had to use the restroom, and I hadn't used the restroom in quite a while. And it was starting to get restless. I didn't know if it was due to the cold or not, but my stomach was hurting more than usual. And I ended up having to find an empty bucket that we use for pickles in order to take one of the fattest fucking shits I've ever taken.
What the fuck happened? What the fuck happened to this man? Like, he went full primal when he got stuck. What the fuck happened? Like, he just logged. He's like, fuck, he's got a spear in there.
I'm not saying what I wiped with.
Probably the fucking curtains or the cardboard.
Or one of the buns.
Oh, whatever he found.
I went back to my shitty tent, and about 5 to 6 hours later, the morning crew ended up finding me and letting me out.
Are you fucking hitting me?
I had mild hypothermia and was feeling very dizzy and out of it whenever I got out. I even had to go to the hospital for it.
I would have fucking busted something open.
Oh, you're damn well sure I'm going to find a way out.
Yeah, I'm getting the fuck out.
All right, next one is by Athena BTS.
Athena?
Yeah, this is one of the last two right here.
BTS. Behind the scenes?
Probably.
You ever seen behind-the-scenes porno videos? They're fun to watch. How nonchalant, how like goofy the behind-the-scenes are. You'll be seeing two people bang the hell out of each other, right? And in the corner will be a dude eating a donut with like a fucking camera. Very unromantic after that.
I can see that. This person puts, today I fucked up by somehow bringing up the flat earth argument, to which I said a joke as follows. You know, I once debated a flat earther, and they got so mad that they said they'd walk me to the edge of the earth to prove me wrong. They'll come around eventually. It's a horrible joke.
But I get it.
Haha, funny, I know, which my boss was like, that's a good one. Now, I don't want to believe my boss is a conspiracy theorist, but the fact that after the joke, he went on a tangent about the Earth being flat has me questioning a lot of things. First, here's some backstory. Number one, he started an escape room business where I worked at. Two, his business is doing all right, except for the fact that it is closing down soon due to the landlord not renewing the lease. Three, he is very disorganized. I would also like to mention he prefaced his flat Earth argument, a tangent, as being kind of flat earther. I just don't know where to go from there. The fact that he actually refuses to see any other argument is incomprehensible to me. I can't understand such a, in simple words, crazy mindset. For his this idea to work, all the fake images and collaborations and employees spanning millions of people for decades would have to be lying to all of mankind and not let it slip. Also, the flat earth theory was before the U.S. government or NASA ever existed, so that on in itself disproves such a dumb theory. But I digress. It's not even just the fact that he believes such a conspiracy, it's also the fact that whenever I or my coworker said anything back, he would dismiss it immediately, acting like we're indoctrinated. Anyway, I've looked into the theory just in case he ever decides to go on a tangent again and I have some arguments, but if you guys have anything disproving the theory, please put sources and links down below. Like, you just don't argue with a person like that.
Not really. Because it's already insane. There's no point. You're not going to win.
Not at all. Last one for today is by Fuck Doosan. This person puts.
Got the bubble guts.
Well, so did this guy. Today I moved into my new apartment for a new job, and the day was going great. New York, new city, new country. Even another continent. I went to IKEA to buy some furniture stuff and just got back. On pure coming back home routine, I head to the bathroom, start sitting down on the throne and checking the phone, which usually results in the subconscious cleansing of the intestine system. I'm aware Let's see. I am so unaware of this background routine dumping process that now I reach for the toilet paper, realizing it didn't exist.
Mm.
I had to rethink if I truly did, just did business in R2 or not.
What?
I don't know. I don't know what the NR is.
Like, he's in his own fucking world right now.
Yeah. Took me 5 good seconds to swallow reality for what it is. I'm currently gathering the strength to go down manual on the outage, as I am now sitting on the toilet with sticky shit on my bum and no conventional way to get rid of it. Man, we just don't appreciate stuff until we don't have it anymore.
Toilet paper, it happens. You just gotta grab one of those tables, one of your towels for some. You gotta do what you gotta do. Hey man, you gotta use what you gotta use.
That reminds me.
Good old hand towel.
Well, have you ever heard that old...
Just burn them afterwards.
Have you ever heard that old Eddie Murphy joke where he said, now, kid, this is one you can say in school, where the bear asks a rabbit, he's like, hey, does...
bear stick to your...
Stick to your fur? It's like, no.
The fucking bear wipes
his ass. Yeah.
Poor rabbit. A silly rabbit.
Shit is for you.
He's like, no.
That's all I got on Reddit today. Anything else before we head out today?
I don't know. The bubble guts hit hard. I don't know what the hell I just ate. Remember that fucking burrito just fucking kicked me in the ass?
All right. Well, with that, we will see you guys on the next one.